got seen some strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxie Joe. Well, the party they gon' have out in the St. John's walls. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Discardi. If you'd like to join us in our live discussions during the program, just dial in and join us at 347-996-5877. That's 347-996-5877. Just dial in and wait for the moderator to announce your area code and bring you on to the show. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
I'd like to say I was top draw, but I'm better than that, my brother. I'm better than that. All the trials and tribulations that we've gone through today, I'm lucky that we're even airing tonight, ladies and gentlemen. You have no clue what's been going on here. But I'm going to leave it to Mr. Marco Bill because he has a temperament of, let's say, I'm a bull in the china shop, and he is probably the most nicest, smoothest, easiest going guy in the world, the sweetest guy in the world, and he'll put it to you a lot better than I. And all those of you guys that are out there that are on the line, please press your 6 button to mute yourself out until we call you, because we're getting feedback of music, okay? Just like that right now.
Yeah, somebody's got a little doggy.
Yeah. So please, you guys, until we call you, press your 6 button and mute them out. Bill, you told me you went over that with these guys. But
yep.
Maybe you got to speak in different languages.
Yeah,
you know?
No speaker phones. Speakerphones, yeah. The sensitivity of the mic and the feedback. So you need to hand your hand receiver. No computers.
Java Bob.
And I'm Java Bob. And Tom, could I give a little overview of tonight in case the people don't know? One, we do have a chat room. There is a web page. Our main web page is down. And it's the main web page. If you want to listen or get into the chat,
let me do it,
sure,
Marco.
Right,
okay,
in.
This way people I think understand me a little bit better.
Sure.
Maybe because of this mic is a little bit louder. I don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, we've had some technical difficulties, and Marco Bill will go into that. But the ones that are on G streaming now, you can get on there because our regular website is down. That's what he's trying to tell you. Okay. So it's a parachat to the right, the blue button, and it says a parachat chat now. Just click on there and it'll connect you, and there's about 4 or 5 in there right now, and we'd like to hear from you, and they'd like to hear from you too, by the way. Okay, now why don't you get into the part right now, Marco, about the technical difficulties so people will understand what we've endeavored here for the last 12 hours.
Yeah, the basically what happened is somebody on one of the big servers put an illegal program on it, and the network shut down the server. Normally they send an email, but they shut down the whole server, which were hundreds of stations, and they reactivated it, but the activation process takes, hundreds of stations as they come up, each one comes up. We're not up yet. So what we've done interimly is put a button on searchingforbigfoot.com, so that you could listen to the radio show on the Bigfoot Live radio site. It is broadcasting. You just can't get to the web page to hear it. So there is a button on searchingforbigfoot.com, and it should tell you right there on that button. You go into a web page called gstreaming.com. On gstreaming.com, you'll be able to listen to the show. And
well, I hope you guys got all that, because I don't have much patience, and he's got all the patience in the world, and he sits there and tells you people, so I hope you're listening to him. But nevertheless, let's get on with this show, because time is pressing, and we've got some great stuff. Tonight is one hellacious show, ladies and gentlemen. The title of the show is Women and Bigfoot and How It's Changed Their Lives. people who've had personal encounters up close and personal, and the authors who've written about Bigfoot and how it's changed their lives. So we're going to be getting into that, but we've got to get out to our shout-outs first, ladies and gentlemen, to our shout-outs and kudos to all of our good listeners and people who've been supporting us all along. Bernie Schumacher. This guy is one hell of a guy. He's got that film festival in the Pocono Mountains up there in Pennsylvania. Bernie, this is going out to you. Try to make my film win, will you? Monica and Amanda of Shawnee Inn and the Golf Resort in PA. Girls, thank you for your support. We couldn't have done it without you. Can't wait to see you. Elvia and Whitney from the Lenscraft is there in Menlo Park. Thank you guys for your support. Dr. Whitney, especially you. Brother Ray Crow, ladies and gentlemen, Brother Ray Crow up in Oregon was hospitalized, if those of you who didn't know. Get well quick. He may even be in the chat room. I don't know. But all of our prayers have been going out to you, Ray, believe me, and I called you there at the VA hospital. Hope things are getting better for you, buddy. To a very, very special person and a very, very special happy birthday. We know we're a day late. To the woman on ice, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Lee Leon. Well, Mrs. Lee Leon, or Miss Lee Leon. She got me all confabulated with all this crap going on today. Happy birthday, Lee. Just going out specially just to you. She's one hell of a gal, girl, ladies and gentlemen. Willie Douglas, thanks again for that beautiful order down there in Sanford, Florida. Todd Olveny, thank you also down there in Coal Township, PA. Brian Martinez, Sunnyvale, California. Thanks, son, for being a part of our organization and supporting us. Appreciate it. Roger Peterson. What more can I say about this guy? From Douglas, Arizona, ladies and gentlemen. You've seen him on the show. You've seen him, or you heard him on our show. You've seen him on our movie, Bigfoot Lives. The guy has had a hell of a lot of experiences down there. You know he's had some problems with his ticker. Our prayers go out to you, Roger, you and that wonderful woman that keeps you going, Kimberly. Keep up the support, and we'll be supporting you as much as we can. Jerry Jurgensen, call me back again. Ladies and gentlemen, this guy called me this morning to tell me about a game warden up in Oregon, that there's been a lot of activity going on up there with these creatures. But when you called, Jerry, and asked me to call you back, your number came up private, and you didn't leave a number. You bad boy. Do it again. Brian Lee from Clear Channel Radio, San Francisco, California. How are you, buddy? Hope you're listening in. You're going to get an earful tonight, buddy. Here's a special kudos sent out especially to Mr. Brian Lee. Rex, you guys all heard of Rex, the world-famous Rex Howdy Shell, has been out on our expeditions many, many times. He's the one that's casted the biggest print ever, over 21 inches, an alpha male. Well, his daughter Bonnie and son-in-law Ben, they gave birth to 7 pounds. Look at this. What is this? 20 inches long to a Holden. I love that name, Holden. I mean, it's an aristocratic name, isn't it? Down there in Morgan Hill, California. Here's a special one to you. You got, that's a good kid. Tim Mallory, thanks for the kind words. And guess what? Dr. Reese is back with us from Alabama. He's in the chat room, too. Dr. Reese, nice to hear from you, my good friend. It's been a while. Hope that you're back on track with us for a while anyway. Like, and ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, this has been blowing me away. In spite of all the technical difficulties that we've gone through and endeavored in the last 12 hours, I got the stats this afternoon. I got emailed with 23 different countries that have been listening to our show each and every week. And I want to send a very special kudos out to these countries. And thank you so much for listening. And keep it coming. Just tell a friend, like I tell everybody each and every week. Just tell one friend and let that friend tell someone else. And we just keep on keeping on and growing like you wouldn't believe. Portugal, the Netherlands, Republic of Korea, France, Israel, Australia, Germany, China, Spain, Brazil, United Kingdom, Russia Federation, OMSK, whatever that is, OMSK, Taiwan, Vietnam, Iraq, India, Morocco, Malaysia, Arabia, Norway, Belgium, Estonia, Poland, and Japan. That's just a few that have been listening, ladies and gentlemen. So the word is getting out there, and we're growing bigger and bigger and bigger. To all of our eyes, ears, and noses all over this country and world, kudos and salutations to each and every one. Boy, I got to tell you, this thing is really growing, Marco Bill, with all these wonderful people. It just blows me away each and every week. I just can't believe how it just multiplies, huh?
It does. It's amazing, isn't it?
Yeah. Okay, well, I told you at the top of the hour, ladies and gentlemen, besides the technical difficulties that we've been having, we've got a great show, and it's titled The Women in Bigfoot and How It's Changed or Affected Their Lives One Way or Another. Why don't we start east and work west tonight, Marco? So let's take, I guess the furthest person east that we've got on the show tonight is Laurel Jones, isn't she? She's in Ohio?
I believe so. That's correct.
Okay. Laurel, you out there in Ohio?
I'm here.
Well, how are you tonight?
I'm fine. I'm like TJ. It's very hot and muggy.
Well, you got to be out here where it's God's country, you know.
Yeah, but you have earthquakes out there.
Yeah, we do, but they're far and few between, though. You just got to step wisely.
Yeah.
Listen, since you've been, tell everybody out there how you got into the Bigfoot game, number one. And number two, if you did have an encounter. And number three, has it really changed your life in any way, in any dimension? Share it with our listeners, would you?
Okay. I was born and raised in Texas, which, you know, everybody should know. I always knew it existed, but, if you're there, you just know it's there, and that's the end of it. And then I had a friend, Lee, and she was going on your expedition in Texas in March and asked me if I'd like to go, and I said, sure. But one thing that I want people to know is the expedition in March wouldn't have been a normal one. It's not where you go out in the field, because we stayed in a hotel when we were there. That was my first encounter, and yes, I did have an encounter with something. I heard tree knocking. We were out there the night that we had it. We had horrible storms. It wasn't the best environment around, but we did have an encounter of something.
Wait a minute. You just mentioned something, and I don't want our first-time listeners to think that best environment around. I don't think there's any environment around when you're out in a brush that's the best. But Tell them the circumstances, what happened, because I don't think it's really fair unless they understand what really took place then.
We had a lot of storms.
A storm meaning what?
We had storms.
We had torrential rains. We had winds up to 70 miles an hour. Come on, tell us.
I will tell it.
All right, go ahead.
We had on the lake, the waves were so bad it sunk the boat. I wasn't out in the lake. We were out in the woods. The area that we were in, a tornado did go over us. Now, everybody around there says, well, no tornado touched down. It may not have touched down, but there was a tornado over us, and we were out in it. That's what I meant by that, plus the fact, you know, that we did go back to the hotel every night, and I've been on one since where we didn't. We spent the night out in the woods. So it's, you know, that, but the weather was horrible, and we still went, and that was the night that I had my encounter.
Share the encounter.
We were out in the woods. TJ had found a bedding area he thought was a bedding area earlier in the day, and we were in the woods around that area, and nothing was showing up, so we went walking down the road toward the lake, and we heard something, and then I heard the tree knocking. Other people heard the rustling, but I heard the tree knocking, and then we sort of knew we weren't alone. We go down to, I don't know, maybe 200 feet from the lake, and TJ had, I believe it's the night vision.
NVG, night goggles, okay, go ahead.
And he saw something and said, look at this. I did see something. I looked and saw, and it was darting between the trees, and it was big, can I say for sure what it was. All I know, it was taller than me, and it was very fast, and it was going between the trees. You could see it move. Then I personally heard something on the other side of the road, and to me it was like they were taking our attention away from the one so that they could get up together and be on the other side of the road. At that point, we all decided it was time to go back. And I felt like we were being sort of escorted back to the car. Not that we were, but I knew that we weren't alone going back.
So let me help you a little bit. I guess what you're saying is you were being shadowed as you were going back to the vehicles, right?
For lack of a better word, yeah.
Okay, fantastic. Now, since people have heard you on the show before and they know that you're, I guess we're stuck with you, for the lack of a better word, and rightfully so, and we kind of like having you there with us. What has it done? Has it changed your life? Has it affected you in any way?
If you go out and have an encounter, because I did go back again, which is what I was saying when we camped out and then went in the woods, which was pitch dark, it does make you want to do more. If I had the means, I probably would do this full time because it makes you want to discover the unknown.
Did everybody listen to that? Did everybody hear what she just had to say? If she had the means, she would want to be doing this full time. Well, you know what? And thank you for your honesty, okay? Because so many people that come out in the field, in the brush with us, that's their sentiments exactly. They would love to find an end to the means of this whole situation, okay? They want to know because now you've had the lick of the lollipop. And the second time you went back, it even got even better, didn't you?
Oh, the second time was the real thing. I mean, seriously, this may, if you can get through this, which is why I guess I want to do it again, because I've been on the cushy part of it, which is when we stayed in the hotel, and I've been out camping out, you know, cooking on the campfire, not having any running water, trekking through unknown territory because we did not know where we were trekking at night. We just said, okay, this is where we're going. And that in itself is an experience to just be out in the pitch black. And we went to areas in the woods where it was pitch black. It wasn't like the moon shining through when we were there before because it was so thick. The underbrush was so thick that you couldn't see the moon. And that's where you find things. And that, you know, I did that. And I really, to me, that's the adventure, and that's where you're going to find something. And, yes, it is something that I, as I said, I would love to be able to do it full time, but it's just not practical. But it's something that I want to continue doing.
And then that's when reality sets in, and I appreciate that. We got a ton of other people, and we're almost 20 minutes into the hour. Listen, just push your six-button leaf, Laurel.
Laurel.
I want to. Well, they both start with L's now. Don't throw anything at me. And but thank you so much, and we look forward to speaking with you again. Okay.
All right.
Thanks so much, Laurel. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Laurel from Ohio. That's the first one. We're starting from the east, working our way to the west. Let's go from Ohio to Wisconsin. Let's talk to Stacy Freitas. Stacy, you're out there?
Tom, I'm here.
Hey, how are you guys?
Okay.
How's the weather back there?
Oh, it's muggy and it's warm, and we have, like, storms that should be coming in later.
Oh, really? That's not a good thing. Well, yeah, I think you've heard the title of the show tonight, Women and Bigfoot and How It's Affected Their Lives, if they've had any type of encounter or if they're a writer. And I know that you've had an encounter. Why don't you share it with our audience, number one, and tell them how you got into the business or actually your first encounter and what's transpired since then and has it affected you?
Okay. How it has affected me, I first had my first encounter, I mean, my only encounter, but I'm still looking. I always go down the side roads, like 8-10 miles out of the way, and I'm always looking for the creature, the Bigfoot. And my first encounter, I want to say, was March or April of 2005. And he crossed the road in front of my husband and I. We were going to a pet sitting. I had a pet sitting service, and I took that road 5 times a day to let out the dogs and cats in the area. And he actually took 2 strides across the road and went down into the ditch. And it was just kind of amazing to see what we saw together. He started accelerating up to it, and it's like, no, no, we're not doing that. And then he says, I want to stop, and I wouldn't let him stop the car because it's kind of that creepy feeling where the hair is standing on your arms and the back of your neck and your head.
Been there many times.
Yes, and since then I've been out there, and then when you came to Wisconsin, we went out to the around the surrounding area, and I've been back there a couple times just looking for the creature. And the thing that it has changed in my life is meeting new interesting people and people sharing all kinds of stories about the creature and Bigfoot in the area.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing, isn't it, how it touches many people and many lives all over, and some of them might be even your neighbors, and you never know it.
Yeah, there's some that are 8, 10, 12 miles away, and even in that surrounding area that have come forward. They haven't actually seen it, but they've heard a lot of unusual noises, the knocking and the screams and the crying and mimicking in that area that we were in.
Has it affect you at all emotionally?
Hey, this is Bruce, the Snake Man.
Has it affected
me at all emotionally?
Yeah.
I'm going to say yes, because there's something out there that doesn't exist in the normal world, that there's like another world that exists. And it's kind of hard to express that there's something out there that, whether it be a being or something, a second world or an underworld or something, it affects me that way, thinking that there might be something more than the average person or any person is missing that exists.
You know, I'm so glad that you brought that out, because that is so true, but a lot of people don't like to discuss that. And that's one of the qualities that I saw in you when I first met you, Stacy, you and Lenny both. You have a serene being about yourselves on how you are and how you project it to the people around you. I want to thank you very much for coming aboard tonight. I know that you don't like to talk about the situations and everything, but I hope that you feel that this is family for you, because I feel that you're part of our family, our extended family, just another part of the country.
No, I do feel that way, Tom.
Thank you very much. And do me a favor, give our regards to your wonderful husband, Lenny. Ladies and gentlemen, they are the ones that have that beautiful restaurant out there, probably the best fish I've ever had in my entire life. What's the name of the house out there again?
It's Richmond House. Fatus's Richmond House.
That's it. The Fatus's Richmond House. You guys, you're ever in Wisconsin, you've got to stop by. The food is off the hook. And try, what's that white fish that I have?
Todd. Todd Walleye and Perch.
That stuff was just incredible. You've got to stop when you're in Wisconsin. And I bet you if you mention Bigfoot, she'll give you a discount. God love you, honey.
Sure.
Say hello to Lenny. We got a ton of show left.
Okay,
Tom. Put everybody in. Be well. Just press the 6 button. Listen to the rest of the show.
Okay, thank you.
Bye, hon.
Bye-bye.
Bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Stacy Freitas down there in Wisconsin. While we're in Wisconsin, why don't we stop and talk to an author? Great gal. Boy, did she have great reception last time we had her on the show. She's the author of a couple of books. One that stands out to mind, The Beast of Bray Road, Mrs. Linda Godfrey. Linda, you're out there?
Yeah, I'm here, Tom. How are you?
Fantastic. Big question is, how are you?
I'm doing good, thanks. It was great listening to Stacy just now. They do have the best fish, and you know that fish is the main reason that you or I or anybody knows about her Bigfoot story, because I found out about it only after they kept quiet about it for a whole long year, and I sent my husband over there one night when I wasn't feeling up to going out to get our weekly fix of Fatus's fish.
I know.
And Lenny recognized the name and said, I got to tell you something. And my husband came home and said, you won't believe this. And what really knocked my socks off was that I realized, when after I went and met Lenny and Stacy and talked to them about this, that their sighting occurred within days and within a couple of miles of another sighting that I had written about that was sort of undecided. I was on the fence between whether it was a Bigfoot or the thing I usually study, which are bipedal canines. And it made me decide that this other woman evidently had seen the Bigfoot, too, because the two, we have both of them around here, but they don't mix. They each seem to have their own sort of territories. And so they really confirmed each other's sightings.
Wow, yeah. You know, I got there's some people in the chat room are asking me to say hello to you. Dr. Todd Reese, by the way, he just loves, he's a big fan of your books.
Oh, well, hey, back.
Great reads from Alabama.
Thank you.
And Woman on Ice, Lee Leon, she ordered all your books, and she just says, when's your next one coming out?
Oh, that's great. Thank you so much.
You know, people just loved hearing from you, and I'm so happy that you came on. You know the title of the show tonight, Women and Bigfoot, and how it affected their lives if they've had any encounter or authors of, and I know that you've authored the cryptids like you're doing or primates. Has it affected your life at all?
Oh, sure. It's affected. I'm spending my evenings talking on radio shows now rather than hanging out with my family. But no, it has taken over my life in a lot of ways. And, you know, when the thing is, I have not personally seen a Bigfoot. I think I may have seen the back edge of an upright canid at a hot spot in Michigan last summer, but that's the closest I've come. However, I've talked to people like Lenny and Stacy, my friends David and Mary Pagliaroni from Kenosha, another husband and wife who almost hit a Bigfoot with their car. They were like, oh, maybe 4 feet from it. Had a really, really good look. That story is detailed in The Beast of Bray Road and Hunting the American Werewolf. These people are not making it up. They're just ordinary people. You know, they saw something, and they feel like they can't cover it up or deny it, and they don't really care if people know because they know what they saw.
Exactly. Exactly. You hit the nail right on the head, Linda. And, you know, I want to elaborate on that just for a few seconds. You know, and that's the reason why we have such an expanded family here at Bigfoot Live Radio Show, due to the fact that we just talk about the thing that we know, okay? And that's the primate, the Bigfoot, the Sasquatch, call it what you may, cryptids, canines, canids, or whatever. And the thing about it is they're not afraid to come out and share their stories with us here because we're not here to belittle anybody or make fun of anyone because everybody practically that comes on this show has had an encounter one time or another.
Right, or either people like me who just have heard so many people that you can't tell me anything that I will think is crazy.
Exactly. You know, and you've gone through it now, and you probably get calls like off the hook.
I get calls. I get one to two or more emails a week from all around the country and the world. You just wouldn't believe where these things are seen. Usually about upright canids, but also Bigfoot. And I'm sort of an accidental Bigfoot researcher because people will report anything that's tall, dark, and furry, and then I have to quiz them very closely about the shape of the head, if it has pointy ears, a muzzle, if its legs move like a monkey's or a human's or like a dog's. There are very different ways that each of these creatures moves to determine which they have seen. And I think that it's important that I document the Bigfoot sightings and other creatures. You know, we get the occasional lizard man, that sort of thing in Wisconsin, just to kind of differentiate and to show what is out there. And if these are all natural animals, you get a picture of how they're sort of interacting with one another.
Mm-hmm. Yep, you bet. So the way it's actually, in summation, how has it really changed your life besides not staying home and enjoying your family and on radio?
Well, it's just opened my worldview. When I first began writing about these creatures, I was still a very skeptical newspaper reporter, and I still keep on that skeptic hat to some degree. You know, people have, I know how to talk to people and ask them about their encounters. But I've really come to believe that these things are out there. There's more to it than we know. There's more to it than we understand. And anybody who says he totally understands these things is lying because You know, so far I don't think any human being has quite done that, or we'd all be a lot more enlightened than we are about it. But it's just made me much more aware of the mysteries that are out there.
You know, and I want to, first of all, say thank you very much, because I know how busy you are, and not only that, you've got your other schedules that you have to handle. All I can tell is just mirror one of the people in the chat rooms right now. Tom, tell Linda that we love her. Isn't that kind?
Oh, that is so... I really appreciate that from the bottom of my heart. I do.
You know, there's a lot of loving people out here, especially in the Bigfoot Live radio show land. And, you know, our family just gets extended more and more and more, and we hope that we can call you part of it at this point in time.
Well, thank you. I will say that I have depended a lot on the prayers of other people. And I don't mind saying I've been battling breast cancer the past... 7-8 months, something like that. Just finishing up my radiation, and but I've finished 2 books.
There you go. There you go.
In the meantime, Strange Wisconsin is coming out this fall from Trails Books, and it has the full details on Lenny and Stacy's story and lots of other really weird Wisconsin things.
Fantastic. Thanks again so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
If you want to listen, just press your 6 button, mute out, and listen to the rest of the show.
Have a great evening.
God bless you. Ladies
and
gentlemen, that was Linda Godfrey, the author.
You are now muted. Muting canceled.
Just a brave woman, and they all appreciate her bravery, and she's just a great, great person just to know. She does good stuff. Now let's work our way to Kentucky. Very special gal, Jan Thompson. Jan, you out there? Paducah. Jan Thompson in Paducah, Kentucky. You out there?
Yeah. Can you hear me now?
Sure can.
Okay.
How are you?
Fine. You doing okay?
Well, we've gone through some... we've had our trials and tribulations, let me just say, today.
I could imagine.
The last 12 hours, we had so many technical difficulties, you know, and I'm ready to break things. I'm the bull in the china shop, and Marco Bill and Jabba Bob, they're the just most calmest people in the world, you know. But whatever. Anyhow, we're here. They're starting to talk. I'm not even into you yet. Oh, we love Jan. Woo-hoo, look at this. It's going, we love Jan.
We love you, too.
It's incredible. You know, you've made a difference in a lot of our lives, too, Jan, with your... Ladies and gentlemen, you may be familiar with... Jan's been on our show a couple, 3 times, and she has a thing on the website. It's called Jan's Tales. And I keep telling them to change that because they're not tales, it's reality.
True.
Everything that when we went out there to meet her, what we found out, I was in shock. I couldn't believe it. We were out there with the media. But before we get into that, because we still got so much show left, Jan, tell everybody, you know what the topic of the show is today, Women in Bigfoot, whether you're an author or had an encounter, and how if it's affected your life. Tell us how you got involved and what happened to you, and if it really affected you at all.
I've had several encounters. You know, the first was back in the 70s when I actually saw a dog-faced Bigfoot within, you know, like 20 yards of me, and I mean, just standing in full glory. A few years after that, one was in the midnight hours where I worked at a gas station, and another one was when I was pregnant as a courier, as a delivery courier. I had a close encounter with one. I know since then, for years, I've set out specifically on my own to research this animal's existence and, you know, have listened to uncountable testimonies and visited numerous sites. And I have learned, Tom, that I don't have to prove nothing to no one, and I don't argue with non-believers or critics, you know, because to me, this is as real as the next door neighbor's dog. Okay, it's not a hobby. It's nothing I take lightly. It's been mainly a solitary mission to prove its existence. But being a part of a common purpose, as with your group, and thank you for including me in your family, it brings all our studies together and our information, and we get a larger definition. And we are slowly gaining support for this cause. Don't you think?
Oh, I have no doubt in my mind. I have no doubt. I'm reading this at the same time. Great author. Another great author, Jan Thompson. I really enjoy her writings.
Speaking of authors, let's put Linda on our prayer list.
Oh, hey, listen, she's been on our prayer list since she's been on the show. And
she's awesome.
Do you know that, because we get a counter here and they tell us what's been sold, what hasn't. The time Linda was on the show, they sold 38 of her books. And I was so proud of our listeners to help support, you know, this gal, because she's talented. She's a lot.
Awesome.
That woman is awesome. She's off the hook. Let me give her another one. Hold on. That's for you, Linda. We love you, baby. And, Jan, you know, LBL, Land Between the Lakes.
Oh.
Okay?
Yes.
You know, since we were down there, you have no idea the emails that we've got, the phone calls that we've got, you know, this cover-up that's going on.
Yes.
I don't know whether the better way of putting it, but, you know, it's going to come to light. I'm going to tell you guys out there, it's going to come to light. And if it's not us, it'll be somebody else. But I pretty much think that we'll bring it to the front, don't you?
Yes, I do. With all the media and with everything that you're doing, you know, this needs to become, you know, come out. Because I'm gonna tell you something. You asked if this has changed my life. Let me tell you something. I never ever go into the woods alone anymore, and I don't ever go into the woods with the thought of being an alpha being anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And you definitely don't go out in the woods when it's that time of month. Okay?
Yeah, right. I hear you loud and clear. You know, I got to tell you this. I don't know if you're up to it or not, but I've had so many people say, hey, when are you going to get Jan back on, and that she's going to tell us the story about the family of four.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say it real briefly before we go to our next guest?
Oh, the family of four?
Yeah.
In the early 80s, there was supposedly a family of four that was brutally murdered in the LBL area. Their deaths were, they could not come to coroners. There were several coroners that came. They could not come to a conclusion what had slaughtered this family. They did know that it was some type of animal, but they had no, nothing matched the DNA, you know, in the archives, you know, bear or, you know, wolves or nothing. The closest they came to it was, what I heard, was Canis lupus, which was wolf. But the bite radiuses and the scratch marks and the gouges were just beyond something that they could, you know, ever imagine. And what from bottom line is, the government supposedly came in and took over the situation and had everybody hush, hush, shut up. You'll lose your pension, lose your job if you say anything. And basically, you know, people still whisper about it, and there's been a few witnesses I've talked to that had family involved in it, and these people are genuinely fearful of even leaving their, losing their pensions, you know, today, even though they've been retired from this place for several years. So I think,
you know, the thing that blows me away, I was 3,000 miles away from you. I was at a gathering, and someone came up to me, didn't know you from Adam,
uh-huh,
and starts telling me the story out there at LBL.
Mm-hmm.
And it was identical to what you had to say.
Oh, my gosh.
And it just blew me away.
There are people out there that know about this and,
oh, sure,
and witnesses, and they just, like I said, you know, with our cause growing greater every day with more witnesses coming forward, you know, the truth is there, and it should be revealed.
And you know what? I have a feeling we're the ones that'll make it happen.
Yes, I do.
By the way, Bob wrote me a little note here on the thing. He says, ask Jan, does she remember what you said about the eyes?
Yes, I do. I could just get lost in those eyes. I thought you were going to say, Jan, meet me in the chat room.
He talks about that all the time.
Oh, he does. He has those deep, dark coffee eyes you could just get lost in.
Honey, God bless you. Listen, we got a lot more show left.
Bless you too, hon. I'm going to mute myself and go jump in the chat room, okay?
God love you, baby doll. Here's a special one out just to you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Jan Thompson down there in Paducah, Kentucky. You know, that gal, she's so brave. She went out there with us, and she's taking the ridicule, she's taking the hits, but, man, she's not laying down for nobody. She's out there giving them hell. Great, 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 great gal. Let's go up to Oregon. We need Charlene, one of my girls up there in Sheridan. Charlene, you out there?
Hello.
How are you, dear?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Well, getting better. I'm calming down. Let me put it to you that way. I'm calming down much better. Let's digress just a skosh here. You've been out probably the longest than anybody that's been on the show. I keep calling you and Toby, my two girls, and rightfully so. The stuff you guys come up with is just it's just incredible. You know, I hear about all these other women of Bigfoot, and they do a lot of talk behind a computer, but it's very seldom where you get a girl like yourself that gets out there in that brush and does what you do. By the way, what happened today?
I went out to my son's house, had my daughter in tow with me, and she took me to where the bathroom window is that she was in the bathroom. She pointed out to where she saw whatever it was. She said she didn't know what it was, but it scared the crap out of her. So I walked around out there a little bit. It was wetter than what it is here in town. So I didn't really find anything, but I told her, because she spends a lot of time out there, I told her just to watch and listen.
Why don't you tell everybody the story? Because when you recited it to me earlier, I was thinking of The Legend of Boggy Creek, because they had that scene in the movie, you know.
Okay. She told me that she was out at her brother's house one night. This was like a week ago. And she had woke up about 4 o'clock in the morning. And she had went to the bathroom. She didn't turn the light on or anything because there's a little light in the living room that she sleeps with. She's 6 months pregnant. And she says, Mom, I got up and I went in the bathroom, and there's a window right there. She says, I looked out the window, and right there by the little shed, I seen this big hairy-looking thing. She says, I don't know what it was. She says, I just kind of stood there and looked at it, and then I turned on the light. I says, and then what did it do? And she said, nothing. I couldn't see it anymore. And I said, well, did you see the eyes or anything? And she said that it was like a green color. And she had said something to her brother about it, and he said that she was crazy and all this kind of stuff. So when I got out there, I looked around. There was a little, like, halfway tore-down shed out there, and I kind of looked around in there to see if there was any footprints or whatever in there, because inside there it was dry. But I'm thinking that it wasn't big enough to hold something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I didn't see any footprints or anything like that. So I just told her, you know, as she's out there, just to, you know, open up her ears and listen.
Make sure she has a camera, too.
She still has her digital, I think, because I don't see it sitting here.
Well, that's a good thing. So let me ask you something. You know the subject of tonight's show, Women in Bigfoot, and if it's affected their lives in any way. Has it affected you?
Yes, it has. Every time I go out to, like, I don't live very far from the casino, so if Toby, my sister, and I happen to go down there, it's just habit for us to just kind of stop and look around, you know, and I never did that before. It was like, just go there, you know, but now we just kind of stop and we look around and we listen. And I don't get up into the mountains as much as I would like to, but I do go up there, so, and I will keep going.
On that note, I want to thank you very much. Say hello to Toby for us. They're all waiting for you to get back in the chat room. And one more time, thank you from the bottom of my heart for joining us tonight, Charlene.
Okay, you have a good night.
God bless you, sweetheart. Charlene, ladies and gentlemen, up there in Sheridan, Oregon. You know, they say that you saved the best woman for last. Well, you know, I talked about her earlier. She's the gal that had the birthday just yesterday. special gal, ladies and gentlemen, from down there in Southern Cal, Miss Lee Leon. How are you, Lee? You out there?
Hi, Tom.
How you doing?
I'm here. I'm fine, thank you. Thank you for the birthday wish.
Wait. Let's get you a good one. There you go.
We've
got to make sure that everybody knows it's your big B-Day.
Yeah.
Well, you know the story.
Yes.
You know the whole program here. We save the best for last. Tell us about your encounter, not the first time, but the second time. And tell us, has it affected you in any way?
My first time was 1974. I was 12 or 13, and I've never been the same since. So I have been researching since I was a child and never really found information on it other than people saying they saw Bigfoot, they had an encounter, but nobody that really, really knew the subject. And I've been so busy as an adult going to school and working that, you know, you kind of put it on the back burner because it's, you know, you have to prioritize things. And it's bothered me for the last year. And I finally just started doing research, came upon your website, and found that you were having a expedition, and I had to go. I just had to. It's like quenching a thirst. I just had to see what the heck this thing is because it's bothered me since I was a child. And
so you went out there, and what happened?
The weather was horrendous. Tornadoes, winds that I've never encountered in my life, rain that I've never encountered in my life, mud that I've never encountered. It was definitely nothing I've ever done before, but I enjoyed every minute of it, and I'd do it again in a heartbeat. And it's like Laurel said earlier, it's about time and money, you know. If you don't have the time and you don't have the money, you can't just jump and go, and that's what you need to do. It's something that you just have to get out there. And so in my own life, in my own personal way, I just head out to the mountains on my own, and I see what I can find, and I take pictures, and I kind of acclimate myself to the area to see if maybe I can see something, hear something. And I did at one point did find a footprint, and I think I did talk to you about that before. But it's just this thirst that's not being quenched until I see what this thing is. I want to know what this is.
And you know what? Like so many of the rest of us, that's what we all want to do.
And these ladies are just awesome because I know I'm not crazy. I know that these women have seen these things. If they haven't seen them, they're smart enough to believe that somebody saw something and heard something. And that they have the compassion to listen, because a lot of people just, you know, they blow you off. They think you're crazy. And unfortunately, I think with pictures, I just don't know that that's going to cut it. I unfortunately, I think we're going to have to come up with a body with something
more
solid.
No, and you're totally right. A specimen has to be brought back. And by the way, Dr. Gregory Reese, he's writing about you right now as we're speaking, saying how brave you are. You were one of the bravest women that were out there on that expedition. You know what? You're so right, Mr. Gregory Reese.
I wish we had better weather, and I wish that we had more time, because I would have done it. I would have paid out of my own pocket to do more. But, you know, time and money is our biggest hang-up, isn't it?
That's what makes this world turn, sweetheart.
Yeah.
Listen, we're so late. I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart, and the biggest birthday present to you back.
Thank you.
You got it, girl. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, that's Lee Leon down there in Southern California. Well, you know, you've waited for him. You heard us talk about him on the show. And last week I told you we're going to get him back on to do a little show. Well, you're not going to have much time, but he'll have something. We got the Shoop Man, the Snake Man, Mr. Bruce Shoupe from Paris, Texas. Bruce, you out there? Bruce Shoupe, you got to press that button, Bruce.
You know, Tom, he just called me a few minutes ago. He got knocked off. He went back on. I told him how to get back on. He may not have made it yet.
Okay. Maybe he's not on yet. Let's say, hey, Andy, how you doing, buddy? Back there in New York. Andy's back out there. Well, I don't know if he's going to be able to get back on, but we got our guys. We got TJ, Jimmy Snell, and Java Bob. You guys on the line?
Snake Man.
Hey!
Hey, there he is.
There he is. We thought we
I'm
lost
here.
Him. Hold on, Sam. We got the Snake Man on now. He finally found his way back home.
Yeah, I found my way.
Okay. Now, listen, you know, I told you last week that we'd have you come back on again. I had so many emails, Bruce. They all want to know, how'd you get into that line of business that you're doing? Tell, first of all, tell everybody what you do, people for the first time that don't know.
I am the licensed reptile retrieval service here in Paris, Texas, the first and only one.
Okay. Now, what is a reptile retrieval service person?
Basically, I'm a reptile specialist, okay? I specialize in reptiles of all natures, you know, of all kinds.
Okay, reptiles being?
You know, snakes, alligators, even amphibians, you know.
Okay.
Like turtles and tortoises and different critters like that.
Okay, now you guys know out there. All right, go ahead.
The reason I got into it is because of my family that owns a gator farm in St. Augustine, Florida.
Hmm.
So it's kind of been in my blood for ever since I was a little boy.
Wow. And
growing up in the Florida swamps and everything, you know, you're pretty used to dealing with critters like that.
Uh-huh. Now, we understand that you've had some encounters, not only there in Texas, but down in Florida with the skunk ape.
Yes, I have.
Wanted to share briefly a little bit of both.
Well, okay. The encounter that I had with you, you know, with you guys when I went on the expedition was, I think it was me and Hondo and some other people. We stepped across where we had the sensor cameras up.
Right.
Excuse me. And I was using the night vision goggles to just try to get used to them and see what I could see. And I looked right there, not even a couple feet away from me, was a form crouched under a tree, and it looked like a juvenile, I guess you could say, Bigfoot. It looked human the way it was crouched. You could see the arms and everything, the body structure, the whole nine yards. And it just freaked me out. And when I turned to tell Hondo and handed it to Hondo, it wasn't there.
They move quickly, as we all found out.
Yes.
Go ahead. Go to the other one.
Oh, okay. I was going to tell you about the Florida one. When I was on our land in St. Augustine, I was hunting squirrels, like I was telling you, Tom, because me and Dad would have a contest.
Right.
And I was out in the swamps, you know, hunting and shooting the squirrels and loading them up. I'd see things that would flutter, and I'd shoot them thinking they were squirrels, go to get them, nothing there. This happened for a couple of times, and then after I got my limit of squirrels, I decided, that's weird. I'm going to go on back and start heading back because it was starting to get dark. Well, I made my way up to the high ground, you could say, heading up to the land, and seen my dad and my cousins and all of them sitting around the fire. And I had that sense that something was following me, plus the smell, that, you know, that decaying matter stuff, that smell. And the feeling of something watching you, and you turn around and look, and nothing's there. I walked all the way up to my dad, and I hold up the bag like, Dad, look what I got, you know. I beat your record, you know. And they're sitting there almost pale white looking at me going, oh, my God, you know. He reaches down, grabs his Q-beam flashlight and turns it on. And to slowly turn around. I slowly turn around, and there, right behind me, not even an arm's length behind me, was this form, this big form, okay, just staring at us, you know. And I didn't even know it was behind me the whole time. That was what was weird about it.
Wow, wow. You know, you've experienced some stuff that people only dream about. And I got to tell you, it's a joy to have you on. By the way, how's the missus?
She's crabby as ever.
I want you to give a big kudo and a big kiss to your aunt.
Oh, I sure will.
We can't wait to come out there and meet her personally. She's been so loving to us and so supportive.
Oh,
I want to thank her from the bottom of our heart.
Well, we all thank you, too, and she thanks you, too. My niece, I wanted to bring to you this here. My niece is having her birthday today. She just turned 11 today.
What's her name?
Her name is Katrina Gayton. She turned 11 years old.
Katrina Gayton out there in the Bigfoot land, 11-year-old. You're old enough to have about 5 boyfriends, Katrina. This goes out especially just to you, darling. Happy birthday, sweetheart.
But they all got to check with her uncle first.
I understand. And even the people in the chat room are saying, happy birthday, Katrina Gayton. Wahoo. That's fantastic. Well, listen, Bruce, can't wait to come out there. Push your button and mute yourself out.
we're going to talk about the boys about coming out to your area, okay?
Okay, all righty.
Thank you so much.
All right, thank
Ladies
you.
And gentlemen, Mr. Bruce Shoup, the Snake Man, back in Paris, Texas. Got a little bit better taste on him now. See where what he's all about. Are my boys out there? Is Jimmy Snell out there?
Hey, Tom, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how is it out there in Massachusetts?
It's not too bad, actually. A little bit of rain. Nothing like Texas.
TJ, you there?
Well, we may be waiting for TJ.
I'm here.
I'm here. This is Dabba Bob.
Okay.
There he is.
Dabba Bob, you're there. Well,
yes,
fantastic.
Sir.
Ladies and gentlemen, these are my guys. As you all know who TJ is, my son, and Dabba Bob, he could be my other son, but he's too damn big. But my brother, you could call him my brother. And Jimmy Snell was out there with us. He was the one that orchestrated that thing that we had in Texas. Jimmy, what have you orchestrated for us now coming up that we're going to be going back here pretty soon?
Well, I definitely think Texas is the place. Definitely. There's been a lot of stuff that's gone on down there, and there continues to be a lot of stuff that's going on down there. So anybody who missed the first time around may want to jump on board for this one.
Well, this one here is going to be a little bit more deeper than the last time because we're going out there for at least a minimum of 2 weeks, and this time we're going out for, what's that big C word?
Capture?
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Oh.
A mission.
That's it. It's going to be a mission. This one's going out for a mission, okay? We know what we've got out there. Now it's the point of getting it. And I think M.K. Davis said it the best. If we found out that these things were up in a tree, if we had enough people, if we tree the thing, we could bag it.
Absolutely.
And that's what it's all about. And I think Lee Leon even said it most graciously. You know, forget about the pitches. Forget about the film. We need the creature. We need a specimen. And that's what we're going to do. That's what we're going to do, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to bring this thing back. And God knows we've got the technology. We've got the crew, and I just can't wait. I'll tell you that right now.
We don't just want the print. We want the whole foot.
There you go. There you go.
That's right.
You bet. You bet. What's your take on that, Bob?
Well, you know, we've been chasing this thing around for so long. We get closer and closer and closer, and now, thanks to diligent work by TJ and yourself and others on the team, we know its habits. We know where it hangs out. We've seen it. We're so close we can taste it. And I don't want to taste it. I want to feel it. So let's go get it.
That's what I say. TJ, what's your thoughts?
I'm with Bob on that. You know, we've been doing all the legwork in the past year and a half and figuring out where this creature's habitates and where it lives and where it breeds. You know, we have to get out there. You know, if we were like the other groups out there, oh, we're going to kill it. We're going to, you know, do what we got to do to get it. We want to capture this creature. We don't want to harm it. We want to prove to the world that this creature is here. It's something that's like the coelacanth, you know, that was supposedly extinct, that it's here. Let's find it. Let's prove to the world this here. Let's show everybody in the world that, hey, it's not extinct. Let's give it its room. Let's let it live and let's learn about it.
I think you said it in a nutshell there, son. The name of the game is let's bring one of these things back. You know, ladies and gentlemen, it's coming to that close of the hour right now, and I want to thank my guests, Laurel Jones, Lee Leon, Jan Thompson, Charlene Henry, Stacy Freitas, Linda Godfrey, Bruce Shoup, the Snake Man, of course, my team, Jimmy Snell, and none of this could be happening or be made possible, ladies and gentlemen, if it wasn't for my sidekick, Mr. Marco Bill. Ladies and gentlemen, as always, to my eyes, ears, and nose throughout this world, till the next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests, Java Bob and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot Live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pack that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door.